Right. I want to talk this morning about a subject that I feel is really important to the heart of God. And I'm actually a bit nervous about it because I felt it really strongly in my spirit how important it is. And so I really want to do it justice. I want to be able to speak about what I feel is on God's heart. So I'm going to pray before I go any further. Lord, we thank you for your love. My word, what a love we have in Jesus. And Lord God, we are completely dependent upon that love this morning. We're resting in that love. If you like, we're seated in that love. Even as we listen to your word, Lord, we're in that love. And Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that you would speak into our hearts. Lord God, that you would ignite something afresh within us, that you would teach us something. Lord, it may not even be new things that we're hearing, but God, that in our spirits, Lord, we would grasp hold of something fresh this morning. Lord, that will spur us on in our walk with you as a church, as a body, as individuals. Lord, we need you. We need you. And we thank you that you're here to speak into our hearts this morning. Lord, help me. Give me the words. Help me to not waffle and just get to the point and to be clear in everything that I say. Nothing of me and all of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, we're going to read from Philippians 2, verse 1 to 11. Which entitled in my Bible, Imitating Christ's Humility. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I love this passage. But I want to take us back to chapter 2, to verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. United with Christ. Is anybody here encouraged this morning by being united with Christ? We are united with Christ. The Christ who is exalted to the highest place and has the name above every name, that is the Christ that we're united with this morning. But Paul is talking about something that should result from our unity with Christ, and that is our unity with one another. So, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and have one mind. So this morning I want to talk about unity. And I know that this is an important subject for us, because it's an important subject for the church, because Jesus prayed about this on the night that he was betrayed, when he was then going to the cross, when he was praying for his disciples in John 17. My prayer is not for them alone, that's the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that's us. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Jesus was praying for you and me 2,000 years ago. Before he died, you were on his mind. He was praying for us, and not just for anything, but he was praying for our unity, that we would be one. Now, just look around you for a minute. Just have a little look around you at the people sitting around you. Is there anyone else in this room who is the same as you? Anybody who looks like you, talks like you, thinks like you, acts like you, smells like you? Or maybe I shouldn't have said that. Anybody else in this room like you? No. So how can we be one? How can we be one? Get any bunch of people together and try and get them to agree on anything, it's incredibly difficult, isn't it? How can we be one? This oneness has to do with our unity in Christ, okay? We are all one. So Jesus was praying for the whole of the church. So from the beginning of time, the whole of the church, that we would be one. And ultimately, when we meet him in heaven, we will be one. We will be in complete unity, because we will be together with all of our brothers and sisters for eternity. But he's also praying for the oneness that is evident in believers' lives. Because unity is more than just being together, isn't it? You know, you can be with a bunch of people and have nothing in common with them. It's more than even doing things together. It's more than even having a common interest. You know, you might have a hobby or an interest that you enjoy and you share that with other people, but it doesn't mean that you are one, that you are united, that you have everything in common. Spiritual unity is about a oneness that originates with God. We can only be united with one another because we are united with Christ. Yes? Because we have the same Spirit living in us. Jesus is saying that we, his followers, can be one as he is one with the Father. Can anyone actually grasp that? So Jesus is in the Father is in Jesus, Jesus is in me, Jesus is in you. We are one. I can't get my head around that. Ephesians 4 puts it this way. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And the Message Bible puts it this way. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. I like that. With oneness. There is a oneness. There is a unity. Now, I like definitions, so I looked up the definition of unity. The state of being one, oneness. The state or fact of being united or combined into one as the parts of a whole. Oneness of mind, feeling, concord, harmony, or agreement among a number of persons. So unity. I believe that unity in the body is important. It's vital. And I believe it's incredibly vital to our growth and to our fellowship as a whole in terms of what we're doing. But I want to look at two aspects of unity this morning. So first of all, unity of purpose. So we read Philippians 2. Philippians 2 verse 2 in the Living Bible says, "Then make me truly happy by loving each other and agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, working together with one heart and mind and purpose." If we have the same Spirit, then we have the same power. We have the same purpose because it's the same God in you and me. Would you agree? So the God in Andy is the same as the God in Daryl, is the same as the God in Lois, is the same as the God in me. It's the same God with the same heart, with the same mind, with the same purpose. We have the same heart beating in us, if you like, because we have the same divine nature in us. We are joined together as the body of Christ, because we're all filled with Christ. We're all got the same Christ in each one of us. That is the common denominator. That is what joins us together. We are filled with God and connected to one another. But what for? What's our purpose? Do we have unity of purpose? Because being filled with the Spirit of God, having God in us, is never without purpose. God calls us for purpose. We know that. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus. To reveal Jesus to us, so that we can know him more, so that we can love him more, so that we can follow him more, so we can serve him more. But to reveal Jesus through us to the world around us. Because the more we show him, the more that others will see Jesus. So we just read Jesus' prayer in John 17. And I just want to pick out in verse 21. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And then again in verse 23. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Our unity is vital if we want to show Jesus to the world. The unity that we have with one another. Now, when I was preparing this, I kept getting a song going around in my head. And I confess, it wasn't a Christian song. It was actually Belinda Carlisle, an old 80s song, which is, "We dream the same dream, we want the same thing." Do you remember that, Stevie? I know you do. And that song kept going round in my head. We dream the same dream, yeah? Want the same thing? Anyway, so I thought I'd look up the words of the chorus. So it goes on like this. All we need is to see it together. We dream the same dream. We want the same thing for now, for love, forever. Amen. That's actually in there, the amen bit. But it's actually about having a shared dream. You know, unity of purpose is about that we're dreaming the same things. We want the same things. That doesn't mean that we don't have personal dreams that God has placed in our heart that is about us as an individual. But all of our personal dreams fit into the shared dream, if you like, of the body. So we have dreams as a church. We have dreams. Are we dreaming the same dreams? Do we want the same things? See, having a united purpose is about moving in the same direction, isn't there? And isn't it? Any team that wants to work together is not going to get anywhere unless it's united. I was thinking about rowing, actually, while I was doing this, and I was just thinking about, you know, if you have a rowing team, I don't know anything about rowing, I will confess, but you can imagine the mess if everybody's doing their own thing, can't you? They're all kind of going in the same direction, but if the oars are all going at different times and they're all doing their own thing, they're not going to get very far. It's about being united in that purpose, in moving together. But purpose without passion won't get us very far. And as I was sort of just praying about this, I felt that God was challenging me about, you know, how passionate am I about my purpose? And I'm always challenged, you know, when you talk to people who are new Christians, their passion is just so great. And it's a challenge to me. Am I still as passionate about Jesus as they are when they've just come to know Jesus? Have I lost my passion? Have things become dry? Have things become hard work? Am I just going through the motions? And I believe that's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? You know, sometimes we can just feel like we're plodding, we're going on, we're just doing what we know we do, but we've lost that spark, that passion about the purpose that we're moving towards. You know, the band United Pursuit, I actually love that term because I feel that that should be a mark of our church, shouldn't it? United Pursuit, that we are unitedly pursuing Jesus, pursuing more of him, pursuing the word, pursuing prayer, pursuing encounters with Jesus. Are we united in our pursuit? Are we united in our purpose? So the second thing is unity on purpose. Because you and I know unity doesn't just happen, does it? You turn up with a bunch of people, doesn't make you united. We need to do something about it. How do we do that? Well, first of all, it might sound a bit daft, but we have to turn up. Because you can't be united together if you're not together. Now, I know we're not always together. And I know because we have the same Spirit of God in us, we are united whether we are together or not. But hear me. If we want to be united in our purpose, if we want to be united, we need to be together. we do need to meet together. Now, I know that there are parts of the body of Christ around the world who cannot meet together, but ask them, would they choose that? No. Being a Christian on your own is an incredibly difficult thing. You've probably heard the story, the illustration of the coals on the fire, you know, where you have a coal fire and you take out a coal and put it on the hearth and the coal goes cold. You know, the fire goes down because it's on its own. You put it back in the fire and it sparks into flame again. We need each other. We need to be together, to function together, to pray together, to worship together, to study together, to have fun together. We need to do things together. We're not called to an isolated walk with God. Because when God came into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, we immediately became a part of something bigger. It's not just us anymore. We are a significant and vital part of the body. We have a shared purpose, a shared function. It's bigger than just you and me. It's not about me, it's about us. This passage in Philippians that we read, as I said, is entitled Imitating Christ's Humility. Daryl spoke about humility. You know, and he said, pride puts others down, humility builds others up. You know, we can't actually have unity without humility. Philippians 2 that we read talks about how Jesus gave up everything for you and me. He humbled himself to death. And that is what we should be imitating. The nature then of Christ, the servanthood of Christ, the humility of Christ, who put us first before his own position, before his own rights, before his own needs. So humility wants the best for others. It celebrates their successes rather than being envious of them. Now, I'm going to be honest with you today. I've struggled with that in the past. When someone else has been moving forward in something and doing something, and I felt like I've been envious of that. But God has showed me that that was because of my own insecurities. Because if we're secure in Christ, we can rejoice with others in their successes because we don't feel that it in any way diminishes us. Does that make sense? Sometimes when we see other people promoted or other people doing things that we'd like to do or just whatever in life, whether it be natural life, in the church life, whatever, if we're feeling envious of that, we need to examine ourselves. Well, God, am I secure in you? Do I really know who I am in you? Do I know how valued I am in you? Or am I somehow feeling that somebody else's success makes me feel less successful? But humility says, I can celebrate with someone else because it's not about me. It's about us. See, at weddings, we talk about two becoming one, don't we? There's no longer I, but we, because we're joined in that marriage. But as a church, we are joined together. Like it or not, folks, we are married to one another in that sense. We are joined together. There is no longer me, there is we. That means that just as in our marriages, we sometimes have to work through some challenges, we do in our church too. And in my experience, I know personally, if I've got a problem with someone else, it's usually because there's too much me and not enough we. There's too much of me, maybe my pride, my position, getting in the way, and not enough we're in this together. It's a we thing. We work together. See, when we truly grasp what our oneness is about, I think we place great importance on our times together, on our relationships with one another, and we will guard them much more carefully than perhaps we sometimes do. I want to look again at Ephesians 4 in a little bit more detail, just because I think it gives us some really clear ideas about some of the things that can get in the way. So this is entitled Unity and Maturity in the Body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. That's not always easy, is it? Be bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's effort required in this. It doesn't happen by chance. It doesn't happen without effort. And we read earlier, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. Verse 29 goes on, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, not yours, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's God. We can grieve him. We can make him sad by our behavior. How can we make him sad? Well, it goes on to say, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. But we have to do something to maintain our oneness. We have to do something to work on our unity. We can grieve the Holy Spirit by our disunity, by our behavior towards one another. You see, the Holy Spirit is in you. So if I hurt you, I'm hurting the Holy Spirit within you, because we are one. See, as the book of James tells us, our words are powerful, aren't they? They can bring healing and they can bring pain. They can build up and they can tear down. They can inspire faith or despair. How often, I know, I say something and then you immediately think, I shouldn't have said that. Can't take it back, can we? We can apologize. We can put it right. But it's so easy, isn't it? But this passage makes it clear when we treat each other badly, we are treating the Holy Spirit badly. But let's be honest, we get it wrong, won't we? We do get it wrong. Am I the only person here who gets it wrong? No, good. So we need to be quick to put things right. We need to be quick to ask for forgiveness and to forgive. You see, unforgiveness is not just harmful to ourselves individually. It's harmful to the body as a whole. Now, we know that because we are so very different, we won't always get on very well with everybody, okay? We won't always see eye to eye. We will have lots of different opinions about things. I said at the ladies' evening, the last one, a quote from Rick Warren. Rick Warren says that every family and every group has at least one person who requires extra grace. And if you look around and cannot find the extra grace required person, it's you. Grace is essential in the family of God. Would you agree? Yes. What is grace? Well, it's that undeserved favor of God. We have all benefited from the grace of God, haven't we? None of us deserve anything, but God has given us life. And yet, when it comes to one another, sometimes we can perhaps be less graceful. We maybe feel that people don't deserve our love and care and attention, or we've been forgiven, but we're not quick to forgive others. We've been loved unconditionally, but perhaps we're placing conditions on our love for one another. So we need the Holy Spirit to help us keep the unity of the Spirit. We need to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. So unity is not all about being the same, is it? We wouldn't really want every one of us to be the same as us. To have a church full of people the same as me would just be awful. I wouldn't get on with any of them. Thank you, Rachel. It's not about us all being the same. It's not about having the same gifts, having the same ideas, having the same opinions. We don't have to agree on every issue. Unity is about recognizing that having the same spirit means that our differences connect us rather than divide us. We can't be community without unity. I've quoted Milton Jones before, and I'm going to quote it again. Sorry, but I like this quote. When it works, church is like Lego. Accommodating each other's knobbly bits makes us all stick together. Well, I don't know about your bit of Lego, but I know I have lots of knobbly bits. And we need to stick together. But God has created us so that's exactly what we can do. We are not called to sameness, to be identical. We're called to oneness, to unity. just as the body of Christ, you know, we're not all the same part, are we? I read, when I was reading 1 Corinthians 12, I was actually saw something I hadn't really seen before. And it was this bit that says, "But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body." I hadn't really seen that before. "But that its parts should have equal concern for each other." The body is diverse. We all have a part to play. But there should be no division in the body. We need to be very careful to ensure that we don't give the enemy a foothold, don't we, in our church? Because there's nothing he would like more than to create havoc and to derail what God wants to do with us. Disunity is destructive and it will hinder the work of the Spirit. We know that unity brings the blessing of God from Psalm 133. And Psalm 133 verse 1 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." And I thought, yeah, live together. Live together. That's not just when God's people meet together occasionally. When God's people live together. That suggests that there's a kind of a daily community. That doesn't mean we meet with each other every day. But do you know what I mean? That there's a very much a being together, togetherness, that isn't just about a once a week occasion. There's a living together. And you and I know, if you have families, what it's like when our families are less than harmonious, shall we say. It's not very comfortable, is it? You know, when there's arguments and things going about. I'm sure you've all got perfect children and that never happens to you. But it does happen occasionally in our household. And it's not very nice, is it? When there's a bit of strife, shall we say. But it's good and pleasant when we live together in unity. How much more in the family of God? You see, because we are family, it means like in your own natural family, if somebody is hurting, you are hurting. Yeah? You feel their pain. But we are family, so we feel each other's pain. When one person hurts, we all hurt. When one person is successful, we all celebrate. So what value do you and I place on this unity? You see, Jesus paid the highest price for us to be brought into this oneness, to be in union with him and with one another. I want to read a quote from John Ortberg because I think he says it really well. "When Jesus prays for us to be invited into the divine circle, it is not a casual request. There is an enormous price to be paid for our admittance. The Son will go to the cross. The Father, who had known nothing from all eternity but perfect intimacy with his Son, will now see his beloved suffer the anguish and alienation of sin. The Spirit will come to earth and allow himself to be quenched and grieved by human beings. At enormous cost to every member of the Trinity, you and I have been welcomed into the eternal circle, to be held in the heart of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Therefore, to fail to prize community, to tolerate disunity with the people God loves, particularly disunity in the body of Christ, or to do things that could lead to disunity is utterly unthinkable. To allow or contribute to disunity in this fellowship is to be fundamentally at odds with the purpose of God in human history." Wow. Unity is incredibly important to the heart of God. When we think of the price that Jesus paid for our unity, can we afford to take it lightly? So, do we have unity of purpose? Do we have unity on purpose? The Holy Spirit makes us one, but you and I have a responsibility to guard that oneness, to nurture it, and if necessary, to restore it. Then the world will see Jesus. They will see Jesus through us, through our unity, through our love for one another. What kind of Jesus do we show to the world when we're not getting on? Or when we're all running in different directions, fulfilling our own agendas? I want to finish with reading 1 Corinthians 12 from the Message Bible. "The way that God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. I like the way that that's put. When one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. We are here for one another, aren't we? And we know that there's been a lot of stuff going on recently, a lot of hurting in different ways. But when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. And we're all involved in the healing. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean we're all necessarily practically doing stuff, but we pray. That's our part. You know, if we don't do anything personally to help somebody necessarily that needs help, our part in this body to be involved in the healing is we can pray. That is an important part. The body responds. Our prayers are so important. That's why our prayer meetings are important. That's why when you get the emails come round with the prayer list, you know, with all the needs, sometimes you think, wow. But that's our part, to pray. That's how we can be involved in the healing, in helping, in supporting. You know, there's been a number of times recently in various meetings where Daryl and others have spoken about us raising our shields of faith in a way that is a united raising of shields like an army would do. So you'd get like a whole barricade of shields raised. You know, and as we stand shoulder to shoulder, raising our shields of faith, that's how we stand together, united, helping one another. So if you're in a position today, you know, and you feel like your shield of faith is about that big, there are people around you who can raise their shields of faith. That's what we're here for, to stand shoulder to shoulder, to stand together in unity, shields raised, protecting one another. I don't think any of us would deny that we're in a battle. And I've spoken before on about us being an army. And an army is only effective if it has a shared purpose and works together. Any army that fights within itself is going to be ineffective. Now, I know that some of you right now are going through some challenging times, and there are probably others of you that I don't know about. And it might be a big challenge, it might be a little challenge. But, you know, we are here to stand together, aren't we? Every attack of the enemy on you, or you, is attack on all of us. If I stub my big toe, it's a small part of my body, but my whole body will feel it. The pain might be in my toe, but I have to limp, which means my whole body has to change the way it's functioning for me to be able to do that, okay? If you hurt, the whole body is affected. And we want to stand together. So I want to give anybody an opportunity today who feels they need people to stand with them. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I wonder, Andy, could you come and play Stand and I Will Stand with You? And if you feel today like, you know what, yeah, I am in a battle, what I'd love you to do, if you feel you can, you don't have to tell anybody else what that battle is just to stand. And people around you just to stand with you. So if you stand first, and then we'll get others to stand with you. But the other thing I just want to say before we do that is, you know, I was praying recently and I was praying about some situations and I was saying, God, I feel really stupid praying about these situations because they seem so small in comparison to what other people are going through. And I think sometimes, you know, there are serious situations we're praying into, but God is interested in everything. So I would hate that today somebody feels like, you know what, I can't stand up because my problem's not as big as theirs. That's not relevant. If you are struggling at any level today, we would like to stand with you and to say, you know, we're in this together. United we stand. Yes?